God's strength and his courage be in you today through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Well, this morning I'd like to talk with you for a few moments about courage. Courage, Christian courage in particular. Do you all have courage in your hearts today? Is there a strength that rises up inside of you from God? A courage that's born out of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ? Let's talk about courage today. What God teaches us about it. What is it? Do we actually really have need of it? Is it something that God really wants us to go after and relish and exalt ourselves in? Is it something that's essential and super important for our faith or not? And what's the difference between a Christian's courage and the courage of just an ordinary person of the flesh in the world? So let's talk about courage today. Do you all have courage? Would you like to have some more of it? Could you stand to have a little more courage in your hearts today with whatever you're facing? Well, let's talk about courage and see what God teaches us about it today then in his scriptures. What does he teach us? Well, first, let me ask this question. Remember that movie Rocky, by the way? Rocky, and let's look at Rocky 3. When do you need courage? Do you need courage in a situation like this where they're just, you know, hanging out together? I tried to find the picture of them in the picnic. You know, they're there just enjoying a nice little peanut butter and jelly sandwich and enjoying in love when all things are comfortable and easy. Do you need courage then? Or do you really need courage when you face something like this? Mr. T, remember that? I'm going to bust you up. Well, the glory of this movie, remember, is that it's all of our own story, because the whole movie, Rocky was afraid because he got beat up the first time. And then the whole movie, he couldn't train. He couldn't do anything. Adrian's like, what's wrong? And eventually says, I'm afraid. All right, I'm afraid. He didn't have courage. That's why he couldn't train. And the whole movie turns and pivots on this one point when he actually has courage. And through his wife's word, said, go out there and fight unafraid. And then the music starts, we all get excited, and he goes and trains, and he says, I'm going to bust you up. And Rocky says, go for it, right? And you're just like, yeah, go get him. Courage. So when do we need courage? When times are easy and comfortable, or when we're facing an enemy, or something threatening, or difficult, or painful coming against us. That's when we need courage, and to lay hold of it. So, what is courage? Do you think we need it in the times of political correctness and things like that? When there's great difficulties, thrown at us, we're in a fear-based culture? Well, courage, let's go back one here, if I can. Courage is when we can stand up against all the things that are making us afraid. Maybe it's a financial situation. Maybe it's a disease or a cancer. Maybe it's, a real bully, a physical bully. Maybe it's whatever it is, the devil or all these things. What is courage? Courage is about your spirit, isn't it? It's about your heart, your mind. It's a firmness of resilience of attitude. Courage makes us go forward when fear would make us go back and run away and cower. Courage is the strength of your heart and the strength of your soul and the strength of your spirit saying, I am going to go forward despite the fear, and I'm going to conquer it. I'm going to go into the face of danger, into the face of pain, and God will make a way through it. Because what's the difference between worldly courage and Christian's courage? A Christian's courage, friends, listen carefully, is born out of faith. Faith in God. That the battle is the Lord's, and he goes before me, and therefore I won't be afraid, because he's with me. He's gone before me in the battle. He will give it into my hand. That's the courage that God is seeking to bring out from inside of us. A fortitude of spirit. An unwillingness to bend or turn back because of fear. But you go into the face of your difficulty, your danger, your enemy, and you persevere, and you see yourself through to the achieved end that you're after, which is, as a Christian, to follow Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? In a world of political correctness and all this stuff, that's not so easy. We live in a fear-based culture. Everybody's afraid. Afraid to say things. Afraid to do things. It's all just fear-based. Our whole culture is based on fear. But God is calling us to something different, to courage. Now, the world's not going to encourage you to be a Christian. No. Political correctness is not going to encourage you to be a Christian. Does God, courageous, does God encourage you to be courageous? What do you think he says in his word here? Is this something God really wants you to have? Let's take a look here. Here's the fear-based culture, right? Let's look at this guy. This is Joshua. And if we read, he was facing, in the Old Testament days, a very, very great enemy. The whole land before him was filled with nations, greater and powerful, more devastating than he, giants in the land and fortified cities. God said to him these words, "Joshua, be strong and of good courage, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land which I swore to their fathers to give them." Verse 7, "Only be strong and very courageous. Be strong and of good courage. Be not frightened," he says, "for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." So what is God's word? Be strong and very courageous. Does God want you to be courageous today? Is this something he loves? He absolutely thinks this is a trait that you should have. Let's look at another one here. How about, who's this guy? Charlton Heston, really. Yeah, right. Who is he? Who's he supposed to be? Moses, right. That was, Cecile said that, right? Now, when Moses was first called by God into a situation of, "Go forward, Moses," how did Moses respond? "Go save my people out of Egypt." Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go and tell Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" He was afraid. He was afraid. Just like Rocky, he was afraid. In fact, he denied God several times. God actually got angry at his cowardice, and he sent them out. But then he encouraged Moses' courage by saying, "God answered Moses, but I will be with you." And he led him through the sea on dry ground. Is God here to encourage your faith, to put courage inside of you? Here's another one. This guy's Gideon in Judges chapter 6. Jesus, as the angel of the Lord, appears to him and says, "Hail, you mighty man of valor. You're going to go and deliver Israel out of the hand of their enemies." Well, what does Gideon say? "Who am I that I should go do this? I'm in the smallest little clan, and I'm the weakest in my clan. Who am I that I should go?" Zero courage, right? God then said, "Well, okay, I'll do these miracles on the fleece. I'll encourage you." And in a little while, what happens? Out of him comes a guy who leads 300 men against a host of evil people that are filling as the sand of the sea, and he beats them all out. All right? Here's another scene. Okay, hang on there, Gabriel. Here's another scene. In Mark, I think it's chapter 4, Jesus is on the sea, and they become very tumultuous. The waves go up and go down. Their courage melts away in their evil plight, and they say, "Oh, Lord, we're perishing. Won't you arise and save us?" And what does Jesus do? "Peace, be still." And all becomes a great calm, and the waves die down, and all becomes like glass. What does Jesus say? Exactly. Why were you afraid? Where is your faith? What was he rebuking in them? Their lack of courage. That they were cowards. They didn't have a courage that was born out of faith that God was going to see them through the storm. So he's calling up out of them courage. Courage at every turn. Also, we see this one here in the book of Acts. We see Paul. He is he's just met a riot. He is in prison. He's afraid of getting torn in pieces, as the scripture says. He's in prison. What does God say to him? It says, "On that night immediately following, the Lord stood by his side and said, 'Take courage, for as you've solemnly witnessed to my cause at Jerusalem, so you must witness also at Rome.'" Does Jesus come into your life to encourage you as well? Does he want you to have these things? Does he speak to you like he's spoken to them? Do you think there's a lion inside of the little kitten that is you? Do you have a lion's heart like Richard the Lionheart of England? Go on a crusade Is there a great lion inside of you? Let me tell you something. Listen very carefully. When you're born again into Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit, your genetic makeup is courageous. I mean, it's just plain who you are. Maybe you don't feel it right now, but it is who you actually are, because God's putting Christ inside of you. Christ is courageous. You just got to call that up out of you, as God is doing by these words of Scripture, so that you be who you actually are, a very courageous people. It is the very trait of Christians to be courageous. The Bible says, actually, the wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. You know, God says in the Bible in Leviticus chapter 26, 5 of you are going to chase 100 enemies, and 100 of you are going to chase 10,000 enemies, and they shall all fall before you by the sword. This is the promise of the Lord. If you're courageous and go forward by faith, it's part of our nature. And in 1 Corinthians 16, here's this word. Paul says, be watchful. Stand firm in your faith. Be courageous. Be strong. Be courageous. Be strong. So God definitely wants us to have a super courage and to bring out that lion from inside of us. So what kinds of things do you need to be courageous about again? You got physical troubles. You got maybe a financial difficulty, a disease. You maybe have a personal struggle with someone, that it takes courage, like Sir Lancelot here. And you got to walk into it even if you don't want to. You got to get in there and try to bring out your desired end. Maybe there's a relationship you just don't want to face because it's not going well. And God says courage makes you go forward when fear wants to make you go backwards. Courage is the trait of a Christian to face even death or the world or a trouble in your body or a trouble or difficulty at your school or in your work. And you go forward when fear wants to make you run away and go back. And so what happens if we forsake courage as a Christian? You know, it is said that courage, think about this, courage is the virtue or characteristic of your heart or trait upon which all your other virtues hang. You know, if you have love, if you have meekness, if you have all these other things, but courage fails, what happens? Everything else crumbles, right? Because Christ is leading you forward, and if you don't have courage to go forward with him, everything else falls and crumbles. All your other virtues are out the window. Courage is all your other virtues on superpower parade. It's what holds and keeps all these things together. If you think about when courage fails, remember that story of the four seeds and the four different types of soil? Remember that? The seeds fall into different types of soil. What is the second one that they fall into? Let's take a look at that one just for a moment. Luke chapter 8, verse 13. Luke 8, 13 says, and the ones that fell upon the rock, the seeds that fell upon the rock, are those when they hear the word, receive it with joy, but they have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of temptation, fall away. Do you want that to be you? No. Why do they fall away, Bill? In time of temptation, they fall away. Why? They didn't have strength because they got afraid. They were cowards. When they loved to believe in Jesus, as soon as some heat comes, as soon as Mr. T comes and challenges them, they're out the door. They're running away. Jesus says, that's not the faith I want for you. You're the one that stays the course, holds it fast, brings forth fruit with patience. Go after him. You're going to win because I'm on your side. You can take Mr. T. We look over here also in Revelation, actually. This is a very serious word here. Revelation 21, verse 7. He who conquers shall have this heritage, and I will be his father. He shall be my son. But as for the cowardly, say that word, cowardly, as for the faithless, polluted, murderers, fornicators, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their lot shall be in the lake of fire. It burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So isn't that strange? Do you ever think of that? That cowardice actually falls into the same category as sorcery and fornication in God's eyes. Now, if you're feeling like a coward today, don't worry. There is strength inside of you. We're just drawing it up. God is in the business of putting courage inside of you. But cowardice is something we should run away from as from the plague, because it's courage and going forward that God is desiring and calling out of us. We are not of those who shrink back, says Hebrews, and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and keep their souls. And they keep it, why? Because they have courage. Courage to go forward once again, like this guy, Lancelot. Do you know that the courage is a thrill to have? It's a thrill to experience. Have you ever felt the thrill of courage? Remember when I was, that story I've always shared with when I was in the ELCA and we went, I got called up to Gettysburg and I had this panel of professor, doctor, assistant to the bishop all around the table trying to challenge me to give up my confession that we need to believe in Jesus to be saved. And was I afraid when I went into that situation? Yes, I was. Was I trembling? Yes, I was. But I stayed the course by the Spirit of God within me to confess Jesus. And you know, that was so thrilling. It felt great. That adrenaline rush of faith to confess that we believe in Jesus Christ and so are saved through faith in His name. That was delicious. That was delightful. It was lovely. And to feel courage is fantastic. Just like Paul here. He's writing in 2 Timothy 4, he says to Timothy, Alexander, the coppersmith, did me great harm. At my first defense, no one took my part. Everyone deserted me, but the Lord stood by me, and he gave me strength to proclaim the word fully. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth, and God is going to rescue me from every evil, he says. Isn't that fantastic? Here's Paul, one guy, everybody else is against him, and he stands with courage, and he felt the thrill of that. That's what God is after for us, the thrill of courage and staying the course with Him. Does that mean you're not afraid? When you face situations, what does it mean to have courage? Does that mean you can't ever feel fear? No, what's it mean? Let's take a look here. Courage is not the absence of fear, but the mastery of it. Think about that. Paul says that when he went into Macedonia, this is in Corinthians, when he went into Macedonia, he says there was fighting without, outside, and fear within. He had a lot of fear. Paul felt a lot of fear, but he mastered that fear. He put it in its place. So if I'm calling you to courage, or God is today, he's not saying that you won't feel fear. He says put fear into its place by the strength of the Spirit inside of you. Let it be over here, and you go forward anyway. Amen? Isn't that fantastic? Say amen again. Amen. Think about it. Who else agrees with us? John Wayne, right? Look at this guy. Courage is being scared to death, but saddling up anyway. Well, I'll tell you something, Pilgrim. Courage is being scared to death, but saddling up anyway. I mean, that's beautiful. That's what we're supposed to do as Christians. Yeah, you're going to feel afraid, but go forward by the strength and the courage of the Spirit of God inside of you. Go wherever Jesus goes. He'll give you the victory. So here's a question for you. If you're feeling not so courageous today, how do you get stronger in it? Well, take a look at this verse in Philippians chapter 1, verse 14. We read here, Philippians 1:14. Says, Paul went to prison. He says, what's happened to me has really served to advance the gospel so that it's become known throughout all the Praetorian Guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brethren have been made confident in the Lord because of my imprisonment and are much more bold to speak the word of God without fear. So where do you get courage? By hanging around people with courage, right? They were all made strong because they saw Paul's courage, so everybody else got courageous too. So if you want to have courage, think about the courage of the people that are around you. You've got Peter and his courage, David, Joshua, Gideon, and all these people we talked about. How about some more slightly modern examples? Let's take a look here. Well, there you go, riding forward, right? John Huss, you ever hear of this guy? He came 100 years before Martin Luther. He was confessing the people need to hear the Bible. They need to hear the scriptures. and these other teachings of the church are wrong. We've got to teach them faith in Jesus Christ by which we're justified. Well, he was burned at the stake. Did he give up? Was he a coward? He said, well, his name actually, Huss, means goose. He says, well, my goose is cooked, but there's going to arise a swan. And a lot of people say that that was Martin Luther, who came up sometime after. He stood the course. Here's another guy in her church history we looked at on Wednesdays. Thomas Cranmer of England, the Church of England. This guy was one of the reformers in England. And when Bloody Mary, Queen Mary, took the throne and she went out and started burning all the Protestants, guess what happened? He was a coward. He actually recanted. He wrote, I recant all the things that I believed in before, and he was a coward. Well, it came a day when he was to say it publicly before everybody. He gets up there into the public, into the pulpit, and Queen Mary's sitting right down here in the pews, and he says, as for my recantation, I recant my recantation. I believe in Jesus Christ. We're justified by faith alone in him, and I get rid of all the things this terrible hand signed in my cowardice. And he stood his last test with bravery, and what happened? They rushed the pulpit, dragged him down, right out, and burned him. But look at that courage of the faith. He returned and showed a great courageous end. Of course, we see Martin Luther. Everybody in the world was against him, in a sense, but he stood there knowing it was his death to say so. He says, unless I'm convinced by Scripture, here I stand. I can do no other. God help me. And he stood the test. Is that bravery to you? Think about, in our modern example, the people that said, I'm not going to bake a cake for this same-sex wedding because that's against my conscience. They said, you will. They said, I will not, and I cannot. And they didn't. That's courage. Think about King Davis there in Kentucky. You will sign this wedding thing for this same-sex couple. And she said, I can't according to my conscience. You can find somebody else, but I can't do it. You will. I will not. And she went to jail for it. And then she got out a few days later by God's grace. But it was courage that helped her to do that. Think about this one. There you are. There he goes, another soldier. This guy was here on Wednesday night. Did anybody come Wednesday night? Farooq Khan. He was born in Pakistan, Muslim country. He became a Christian, and he was preaching once to all these Muslims, hundreds of Muslims, saying you got to believe in Jesus Christ to be saved and such things. Well, he got a call on the phone call shortly after that from a phone booth somewhere up in Michigan at a mere gas station, said, if you keep preaching Jesus Christ to these Muslims, you're a dead man. Well, what would you do in a case like that? Well, you hang up. He took him over. He says, well, guess what? Philippians 1 in the Bible says, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. So if you kill me, that's only gain for me. I'm going to keep preaching Jesus Christ, even at a death threat. Would you do that? That's what he did. Courageous. And here he brought along with him a woman who was in our pulpit on Wednesday night here, our lectern there, named Sarah Christian. Not her real name. She had to change it because she was born in Saudi Arabia. And she gave her testimony that she was always a very devout Muslim until she got witnessed to on the internet. And she started to look into Christianity and came to believe in Jesus Christ as her Savior. And her mother caught her one day looking at a Christian video. What did her mother do? Beat her against the edge of a table to kill her. And her brother, she said, came and saved her from her mother. Well, then she prayed for a miracle. God, I got to get out of this place. They'll kill me. God gave her a miracle. Her jaw hurt. Her father wrote her a permission slip to go to Kuwait because she couldn't leave the house without a permission slip. Otherwise, big trouble in Saudi Arabia. She gets to the airport and she prays. She takes off her garment here, her Muslim garb, where she could only have her eyes seen. She takes it off and she said, oh God, please, I need a miracle. Blind the eyes of my brother that they will not recognize me. And she walked right in front of her brother like this in the airport, and he didn't recognize her. And she was able to go out through underground churches and escape into Lebanon and eventually into the United States. And this is a picture of her here, right there. And she came and spoke with us right there on Wednesday night. Was that courage? Courage God gives you. We get courage also by the Spirit. Acts 4, for were filled with this, they were filled with the Spirit and spoke the word of God with all boldness. Through prayer, Psalm 138 says, "But when I called to you, you answered me, God. You made me bold with strength in my soul." It's by being around with others, and also, and this is key, it's seeing the unseen. What do you think? You facing something difficult today? Can you say this? There's more with me than there are with them. That's where courage comes from. God doesn't call you to a baseless faith, but to a courage that's born of a reality that you can't see, but you see by faith. What is this a picture of? Yeah, lots of horses and army surrounding the camp, the area where Elisha was. Because in those days, Elisha was giving secret words from the Lord to the king, saying, "This is how the king of Syria is going to try to attack." The king of Syria is like, "Will you not show me who's the traitor? Who keeps giving away my secrets?" Well, Elisha tells the king what you're saying in your bedchamber, because he's a prophet. "Well, go get him," says the king. The army comes. They surround the city. The servant of Elisha is like, "Oh, Lord, oh, Elisha, they're going to kill us." "Why are you afraid?" says Elisha. "Well, because they're all over." "Well, don't be afraid. There's more with us than there are with them." "What do you mean? It's a huge army." "Open his eyes, Lord, open his eyes." And what does he see? The whole place is surrounded by angels ready to deliver them. Can you see that in your situation? That there is more with you than there are with them? Say this after me. Ready? One person plus God equals a majority. If you're facing something tough right now, open your eyes by faith with courage to say, "There is a God with me. And therefore, whatever is before me, I'm going to win because he's with me." We saw the same thing with Moses. The Bible says he left Egypt not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. He saw his God, and that's why he was courageous. He saw what was unseen. So courage is about faith. It's born of faith. We're not just like earthly courage. We're talking about courage that sees unseen things and says, "Because God is with me and his angels are surrounding me, I'm going to go forward. I won't be afraid, and I'm going to win because God is on my side. The battle is the Lord's." And that's why David says, "I keep the Lord always before me. Because he's at my right hand, I shall not be moved." And Paul says, "I can do all things in him who strengthens me. And he will rescue me from the lion's mouth, as he has done every other time." So courage really is born of faith. Courage is what we're talking about. And how about Jesus? We're getting to the end here. Listen to this. Jesus, to go forward to the cross, took huge courage. On that very night when he was being betrayed, he even was so afraid, great drops of sweat were coming down like blood off of him. He prayed, "Oh God, if you're willing, remove this cup from me. But if not, your will be done, not mine." And he says, "Don't you know that I could call and there'd be 12 legions of angels here to deliver me at a moment's notice?" He could see the unseen, but he says, "But nevertheless, how then should the scriptures be fulfilled?" Jesus then, with courage, putting his fears down here, and walking ahead, went to the cross. And I'll tell you something, he has achieved for us a perfect salvation. You, believing on him, are saved, justified, freely forgiven, inheritors of heaven, have the Holy Spirit. More than 12 legions of angels are ready at your word and command to be sent and to come and to rescue you and deliver you. And you have a glorious world to come. God is a God of courage. And he wants his people to have the Spirit of Christ, which is courage. It is your genetic makeup. And Jesus now, raised from the dead, says, "I'm living inside of you. Greater is the one who's living inside of you than the one who's in the world. Nothing, no man shall be able to stand against you all the days of your life. Therefore, be on guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be men of courage. Be strong." And why? Conclude with this. He says, "Because I am with you. I will make a way for you. I will not forsake you. I won't leave you. I'm with you always to the close of the age. Therefore, be courageous. In Jesus' name, amen.